So there are all these changes going on that we have. Retirement is a big change. For me, I think the thing that changed me the most besides the Lord was having a child. I mean, it just totally changed my values, my outlook, my pace, everything about life. So, I mean, there's just so many things that changes. And so we're constantly being changed in big ways and in little ways. And the job of sanctification that's going on, that's going to be going on until the Lord calls us home. And thank the Lord that we've got, more hope for ourselves. Sometimes in church services at the end, in some churches, they have what they call the invitation. And it's a time when if someone wants to give his or her life to the Lord, they can come forward and accept Jesus as their Savior. But what exactly is this an invitation to? If you really think about it, becoming a Christian should not be taken lightly. If they really knew everything the Bible says about becoming a Christian, it would maybe give them pause. So on page 121, in the middle of the page, these are some verses. These are excerpts from the verses. Now, I'll go ahead and tell you, I have taken these excerpts and I did what Michael says never to do. I took them out of context. And later on, we'll have a little bit more context in the homework. But some of the words are, if you accept this invitation to salvation, you will have trouble, guaranteed. It's not going to be enough just to believe. You must suffer for Christ. And the suffering will be abundant. You must be willing to lose your life figuratively and literally. And if the Lord really wants to bless you, he will reprove and discipline. Then you could end with the big flourish and say, let me tell you about someone who did a lot for the Lord, who really evangelized the world. One of God's most faithful servants, Paul. And let's just hear in his own words what happened to him when he became Christian. Top of 122. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. That's from 2 Corinthians 11. Is this how we evangelize? No, we don't generally tell this story right up front. But still, some people try to present Christianity as like an easy life, a free ticket. And it is the furthest thing from that. It is not the prosperity gospel. It's the true gospel, which is a redundant term. So Jesus says, cast your burdens on me. And we do have that option, but that implies there are still burdens. So in this process of suffering, which is part of sanctification, who is it that sanctifies us? And we're going to go, the Zoomers are going to read the verses for us. Let's see, is Carol on yet? Yeah. Carol, would you read 1 Thessalonians 5:23?
Yes, may God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Kathy?
But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:13.
I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I'm of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified.
Trisha.
Who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace be yours, grace and peace be yours in abundance.
So who sanctifies us?
God the Father. No, the work of the Spirit.
It's all the Trinity, you know, which I thought that was very interesting. I didn't go looking for that. Mm-hmm. It just, that I just never observed that all are mentioned in the sanctification process. So what is sanctification? I love this definition from the Reformation Study Bible. And they took it from the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Sanctification is the work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man. Love this next part. After the image of God, amazing, and are enabled more and more to die into sin and live into righteousness. It is continuing change worked by God in us, freeing us from sinful habits and forming in us Christ-like affections, dispositions, and virtues. May it be so. It does not mean that sin is instantly eradicated. But it is also more than a counteraction in which sin is merely restrained or repressed without being progressively destroyed. Sanctification is a real transformation, not just the appearance of one. God calls his children to holiness and graciously gives what he commands. The basic meaning of sanctify is to set apart to God. And I guess, is that the definition that you've always heard? That's the main definition of sanctified that I've always heard, set apart to God for his use. But God works in those he claims as his own to conform them to the image of his son. And I like this next phrase, this moral renovation in which we are increasingly changed from what we once were flows from the agency of the indwelling Holy Spirit. God calls his children to holiness and graciously gives what he commands. Regeneration is birth. Sanctification is growth. In regeneration, God implants desires that were not there before. Desire for God, for holiness, and for glorifying God's name in the world. Desire to pray and worship. Desire to love and bring benefit to others. In sanctification, the Holy Spirit works in you both to will and to work according to God's purpose, enabling his people to fulfill their new godly desires. Christians become increasingly Christ-like. And I love this next part. As the moral profile of Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit, is progressively formed in them. And I think we've all seen this in our own lives. And again, we're not saying that we're anywhere near where we want to be, but I don't know about you, but I remember when I first became a Christian, I thought, if anyone were around me, they would have no idea I'm a Christian because the music on my radio is not Christian. And I really did not want to switch to a Christian station. I really like that other music, you know. And I just thought there's just nothing, there's no evidence of, I don't appear to be any different than I did before. And I remember having no desire at all to go to a Christian concert. The first time, I mean, I was invited probably the week after I gave my life to the Lord. And someone said, do you want to go to this Christian concert with us? And I was like, oh, I don't really want to go. That sounds so boring to me. But I loved it. You know, once because he births new desires in us, he slowly sometimes takes away the other ones and gives us new ones. And with some people, it's like a Damascus Road experience. Other people's very, very gradual. But to get there, a lot of times he does use suffering. For most of us, our suffering is pretty light. When you think about the early church, our suffering is really light. When you think about the persecuted church in the Middle East, at the top of 124, our suffering is light compared to theirs. Dave Hubbard Wednesday night at CORE, he said, you know, we we have light suffering. I mean, the Middle East has real suffering. We have Disneyland, and that's really kind of what the comparison is. We have losses. They don't compare to the suffering and the losses that our brothers. For us, it's usually discrimination or disdain, but it's not really the suffering that we see other. And I don't know why, for some people have to suffer more for the gospel than most of us do, but there's a perfect plan out there. Second Timothy urges us not to hesitate, to be bold about our testimony, whether the suffering is great or light. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. 2 Timothy 1:8. And I'm going to ask Don to read that first verse. We're only going to read through 2 Corinthians here. But you read Romans 8, 17, Don.
Yeah. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together.
Lord.
Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I may live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Romans 5, 3-4. Not only so, but we also glorify in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope.
We're just going around the room. Okay,
this will be the last.
2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4. Let be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God.
And there are a couple more pages of these verses on suffering, but then God providing the comfort and support during the suffering. And I mean, there we could have done pages and pages, but I did select some. If you ever don't have time to read the notes or do the homework or whatever, just read the scriptures. That's really all that you need on here. And there are plenty of them on this. And I'm going to skip on down to almost the bottom of 126 and just read the last two verses of Hebrews 2, 17 to 18. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Praise the Lord. So I know for some people, some of you were really sweet people before you became Christians. And so people might not have noticed a big difference in you. People noticed it in me right away. I think I've told you the story of the woman who said, the bus driver who said to my son one day, I can't believe that is the same woman. She said, she was the meanest woman I've ever known in my whole life. She told my 7-year-old son that. So anyway, you know, some people, it's a big drastic difference. So, you know, just think about the differences that people might see in you from the time that you became a Christian. The Holy Spirit communicates very differently with each person because we are different. But, and I've been told that the people in the persecuted church who suffer greatly feel sorry for us because we have not had the privilege of that suffering, because they know that that's how their faith grew. They saw what beautiful things that did for their faith and their closeness and their communication with the Lord. And so they wish that we had that, not in a bad way, in a good way. Now, one of the beautiful things about change is that we are being built into a whole new structure to house the Holy Spirit. When Jesus' blood cleanses us from sin and takes up residence in us, we gain the privilege of housing the Holy Spirit inside us. So your body is now the temple indwelt by the Holy Spirit. One day you're walking around with sin and gunk inside you. And the next day you are housing the Holy Spirit, which is miraculous to me. Skip over here. I want to get to the questions and the discussion, so I'm kind of skipping a lot today. Christ is the model and the example, and we're being daily more and more conformed in him. Barbara, if you will read those verses at the bottom of 128.
Starting with Galatians, tell me where, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 3:18. It's almost at the bottom. They're italicized. The last
okay,
two.
Yeah. And 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Okay, so this is not just a renovation or refurbishment. We are becoming a whole new structure, a temple for the Holy Spirit. So when you accept Jesus, he basically says, out with the old, in with the new. Wendy, are you on with us this morning? I don't see Wendy.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, there she is. She's going to read these verses for us.
Which ones, Casey?
The top of 129, number 1 and 2.
Okay. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17.
And all of this leads to greater, holiness. I have a friend, the mentor I've mentioned several times, who is, and I think about this, how God gives us what we need. Like, she is, like I said, like 90% mercy. And that's the lowest gift I have on the spiritual gift chart. And so God knew that I needed someone to model that for me and teach that for me. So he put her into my life. And she has made a lifelong study of purity, piety, and holiness. And you can do worse than study those three things. And it's really reflected in her walk. And that's what we all attain to. When I started studying this holiness, I started with Strong's Concordance, because that's just a lifelong habit. And it said, it defines holy as sacred, morally blameless, consecrated, and saint. It took me a long time to be able to say that I was holy because he is holy. That's a really hard thing to say for the first time. Holiness is one of those gifts that is so wonderful. And we are so unworthy, it's difficult to say it out loud because we know we're undeserving. And if we forget, we always have the accuser standing there all the time telling us, you don't deserve holiness. You can't have holiness. Maybe somebody else can be holy, but you can't be holy. He's there every day telling us that, but that is not what the scriptures say. Scriptures say, 1 Peter 1:16, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Ephesians 1:4-8 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. And I'm going to skip up to 2 2 Corinthians 5:21. This is on page 130. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's another one that's just amazing. We are the righteousness of God because we are set apart. We are set apart from the world. We are set apart to God. We are set apart because he chose us to be so. And he chose this and made this decision before the beginning of the world. So this is a firm decision. This is, and it's so not up to us, and we're glad. I'm holy because, not because I have any claim to holiness, because it is who God is. It is who Jesus is. It is who the Holy Spirit is. And I am his and he is mine. He is in me. Therefore, I am holy. My confidence in saying that I'm holy because he is holy is complete confidence in him and in the blood to eradicate any sin, even my sin. He can eradicate all of it. That's where my confidence is. If you think saying that you're holy is hard, try saying that you're a saint. And go around telling your family, I'm a saint. I'm a saint. And see what how that goes over. I'm going to expand on a verse we read earlier, 1 Peter 1:13 through 23. It tells us how to be holy at the bottom of 130. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Now that verb shall is an authoritative verb. It means that it's in effect. It has effectively been done. And then I'm going to skip on down to 2 Timothy 2:9, talking about God who saved us and called us a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. You know, it's almost like with a child, when you really begin to accept that you are holy because he is holy and that you have the righteousness of God, it's almost like when we deal with our children. And, you know, when you instill in a child the things, the attributes that he has that are worthy and good, they tend to want to live up to that. And that's kind of how we are. If you study this righteousness and holiness, you begin to think, that's in me, that's who I am. And you begin to want to portray that identity more. And I think that's very encouraging. And then I'm going to end with this verse on the last page, about the giver of holiness. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast.